This is a Niche Radio podcast. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or log into www.nicheradio.co.za.
Morning, welcome to the Come Join Us podcast. I'm this morning with Martin Moore, which is Cellar Master at Durbanville Hills. I'm not going to talk too much about Durbanville Hills from my side. Martin's going to tell us all the wonderful stories about the amazing brand. Sweet and short, we're in the Cape yet again. And Martin, it's lovely being here with you. I know we always chat in Afrikaans, so it's a little bit tricky doing the article in English.
Slightly awkward.
Yeah, slightly awkward, but we'll concentrate very hard and trying to bring you the best. Martin, it's lovely being here. Yeah, it's been a while. I haven't seen you for
been a while.
Yeah.
I've been trying to figure out how many years ago we did the first one.
I think, well, we started 7 years ago now.
7 years ago.
And then you, I think at Durbanville Hills I did was in the third year or so. So we've been going strong for a good 4 or 5 years, eh? And now you've relaunched a lot of brands and so forth as well. But tell us, I mean, for the people outside South Africa, what is Durbanville Hills all about?
Well, the way we came about was that these farmers used to sell their grapes to the big companies, the KWB, I think the DGB got some.
Quite a few of the big guys.
The DGB, SFW, the old Distillers Corporation. I think the KGB might have had some. But so they never added value. There was very little, or very small volumes that actually went into the bottle, roughly 7%. So Durbanville was fairly unknown.
Yes.
Outside of the industry, but the industry knew the quality of the grapes here.
Yes.
And about 25 years ago, a lot of the smaller players came in, and they started picking pockets, buying it from the farmers.
Okay.
And then the farmers realized that they're actually sitting on very good quality, and the bigger companies weren't giving them the credit for it.
Yeah, just to give people some perspective, where is all your pockets based, so that they know exactly?
Well, we're sitting here about 9 kilometers from Table Bay side, the west coast on that side, and then on the other side of the valley, it's about 28 kilometers to False Bay. So we've got
cool climate completely.
You're basically sitting on a peninsula.
Okay.
Because you've got ocean that side, and that side.
Okay.
And but the main factor is False Bay side.
Yes.
The cold southeaster that comes in, that keeps our grapes healthy, cools everything down. So this is very well known as cool climate.
Fantastic.
And that is why a lot of the players start coming in, especially obviously of going after Sauvignon Blanc.
Yes.
And but then the farmers realized that they must add value. So a couple of them started talking to each other about building a cellar. But the problem with this quality grapes is you can't just build a co-op style cellar. You've got to build a cellar that can do justice. And so eventually they struck a deal with the Distillers Corporation as a joint venture, which then became, after the merger, obviously Distell. And we've been going, 21st vintage was this year.
21st,
so I've been here 21 years. All those pieces of equipment in the cellar. And
the best one as well.
And then the deal is basically that we go from procurement, production, viticulture, winemaking, up to bottling.
Yes.
And then the sales, distribution, and marketing.
Okay.
And the way that I've been traveling, I've been busy with sales, distribution, and marketing.
Yeah, you travel mostly in winter time, hey?
Yeah, well, we can't travel in harvest time.
No.
Well, there's no sort of mid-May, then my diary becomes someone else's diary. And then we start going.
You see, yeah. And where do you go, all over?
Well, this year, we had a big launch of the Reserve Range in Dubai.
Yes.
Which was very exciting. We basically did a tour there with, I think it was 11 Land Cruisers.
That's amazing.
In Dubai. And we had, a little bit through the dunes, but it was actually in Dubai because we've got the Cableway Chardonnay.
Oh,
yeah. And what we've done here is we on your launch, we did a tour with people, taking them to all the, like the Mule Point Lighthouse and all of that. So what we did over there was, they've got a Cableway,
yes.
Very old, rundown. But we did one dish with a Cableway Chardonnay at that venue that you could see the Cableway.
That's
they couldn't really recreate a lighthouse, But we went up to, I think, the 15th story.
Yes.
Of a hotel to give that lighthouse effect. And with each of the wines, we actually went, like the Shenanigans, the Cape Gardens, we went there to a very, very good hotel, I think it was called Vintage, to their garden and launched it there. So it was, the whole thing was around the labels.
Amazing.
The where the wines are linked to in Cape Town, we tried to redo it in Dubai.
But tell us now about the labels. How did it all start? And your reserve range?
When we started off, the cellar was designed for the Hills range.
Okay.
So that was a lot of
that's why she's still young bulk.
Yeah, but that was sitting down with engineers and say, like, we've got this equipment in that they're using boutique cellars.
Yes.
I need a big one.
Okay.
Like with Italy, for instance, all the other tanks were made locally, but the red wine fermenters came in from Italy because they had the automatic pump overs, all the technology on them. And I think the biggest ones they were making at that stage was 20,000 liters.
Yeah.
And we wanted 60,000. So the first thing the Italian says, can do, he said, you must do. And so we've got them. So the everything in the cellar is basically, was upscale.
Okay.
Equipment that we've got the advantage of scale. So a lot of the equipment that we have here, the smaller guys can't afford because they're not going to use it enough to justify it. So after a couple of years we had, I mean, the Hills Range is in South Africa, is everywhere.
Yes.
And it's got a heck of a good reputation. So that we felt that we put that one in bed, although it will always be our bread and butter. So that takes a lot of work in our time. But we had a reserve range, the Rhine Fields, which we had to explain to people for hours.
Oh, it is.
It was really, it was just a complicated for them. And then we had the three so-called single vineyard wines. But what happened in the beginning is the first year we planted, because I wanted to make a top-end Bordeaux blend in the area because of our climate.
Yes.
So we planted back in 1998 to 1999.
According to road direction. Sorry, it was a personal joke. Martin always tells about it because you used to go and work in France. Sorry. So he says Bordeaux. But anyway, it's here. Continue.
So we planted there, and most of the vines in the area, the farmers were very afraid of erosion.
Yeah.
So everything follows the contours, which is not always the best for sun movement.
Okay.
So on those vineyards, we specifically went and planted according to sun movement.
Mm-hmm.
And only in 2012, I was confident to say, okay, now we can start utilizing these grapes. We also contracted a small farm in the middle of the valley, which is not one of our farms.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got, it's a hobby for his wife, she makes him a little bit of wine. But they planted, it looks like a garden. Each and every vine is the same. Small little farm. So we get Cabernet Franc, Malbec, Merlot, and Petit Verdot from him as well. But in order then, when I was confident enough at that stage, that's when we brought out Tango, which is our really top end wine. It sells for about 980 rand a bottle, and it sold out.
Yeah.
It sold out. We're bottling again, or we're releasing, we leave it in the bottle for at least a year, so we're releasing again now, I think in November, the next lot. And the
what varieties is that altogether?
It's Cabernet Sauvignon based, and then we played around because we blend. We don't follow recipes. So the first thing was up to 90% of it was just Cabernet and Merlot. I think it was 60-30, if I remember right. And the other 10 was made up of the other varietals.
Okay.
But something like Malbec is.
Do you like Malbec?
1% extra of it, it changes our blend.
Totally.
So
we don't have it here often. I mean, it's a typical.
There's a couple of them coming onto the market now.
Yes,
but some of them are wild. I mean, it's a wild.
I spoke to Bath to see if they're bringing it in now. They're starting with it, so it's quite.
It's a wild kid.
Is it?
Yeah. What we do with a blend on Tangram is, I always say it's like the old radios.
Yeah.
Where you turn the knob and it goes, and you get a station, and then. Change the blend, it goes, you get another station.
Sure,
and then you've got to decide which station is the one that you want. And then you've got to fine tune.
And you literally just put 1% in and it changes the wine completely.
Especially something like Malbec, it changes your whole makeup of the wine.
That's insane.
So we brought out Tangram and we pretty much made that by hand because the cellar is designed for Hills volumes.
Yes.
So the presses aren't too big. So first thing we had to do, we bought a little basket press.
Yes.
The next year we bought a little crusher. So he basically built the small cellar within the big cellar. And that is very important for the yield of the collector's range as well.
Okay.
That we needed smaller equipment.
Okay.
So it's a scale down. I told the winemakers to be careful what they wish for, because
it's very labor intensive.
On the reds now, 1 ton tubs, hand punch downs.
Oof. So intensive.
So it's intense. It's on the collector's range we utilize smaller red wine fermenters where we can draw off juice to do concentration. But I think at the time we're so on top of the hills, making the hills range at this stage, that from a winemaking perspective, I think my team needed something as a challenge.
Of course.
And really winemaking in the nitty gritty, because
the
with the hills we can't really
got a recipe.
You've got a style that you've got to stick to. If the market changes, we change the style. But if on our Sauvignon Blanc, for instance, in 2005, we changed totally in the vineyards because everyone was moving away from that green pepper flavor, and they wanted tropicals.
Yeah.
Now the first thing, you've got to fix it outside. And so that's a deliberate change that we made because the market demanded it. But
it's insane actually that you can sort of.
But that you've got to spend time in the market to figure it out.
Yes.
Because I was in Canada, but I've heard it quite a few times over here that people also talk about acidity and this itch. Yes. Sometimes in some Sauvignons, if you swallow that, you get this little. And I picked it up in Canada that people were asking me about Sauvignon Blanc in general.
Yes.
Doing that. I know exactly what it is. It's methoxypyrazine, which is a green pepper flavor, and malic acid, the combination of it.
Yes.
Now, fortunately, both of those are destroyed by sunlight and heat.
Lucky fire.
So we just started farming vineyards more open, get more sunlight in, broke both of them down. And then you also get your precursor flavors for the tropicals developing the vineyard because of sunlight. So, quick fix out there with Mr. Sun on top.
Fantastic. And good to go.
I was down in New Zealand and some of the Kiwis asked me because they are getting feedback, a lot of feedback on their wines. So people can't really drink more than 2 glasses. I mean, they're just powerful.
Acid is a big thing.
And acid there is big. So they asked me what we did. And I told them, I can tell you, but it's going to be like telling a guy to go and sit next to a fire if it's cold. But there's no fire burning. So they can break open, but the sun is not intense enough. So,
yeah.
But it's quite exciting. So when we launched the Tangram range, which is the white and red, suddenly we had Hills, the Rheinefels here, and Tangram.
Yes.
So it didn't make sense. So we needed something higher up in the middle. And that is where the Collector's Reserve range came in.
Okay, great. And tell us about what was the whole collaboration with the artist. You can see there's the labels of the Collector's Reserve. And this is the lovely Merlot, which you're also very famous for.
We were looking at obviously something familiar to people with Dermal, but also that they can see this is a reserve.
Okay.
So from the beginning, I just said, let's not make the mistake again and just get reserve in the name.
Okay.
So eventually we came up with Collector's Reserve.
Yes.
And the guy that had labels, we were sitting here with a lot of these agencies and clever people, and they just couldn't give us a concept that we really were excited about. And then he came up with it, because at that time we became Wine of Origin Cape Town.
Oh, so that's something we need to chat about as
so
well.
So later today it's going to be a vibe here again, like you won't believe it. Friday, we've got this wine down.
Wine on Fridays.
Oh,
best.
It's crazy. And then you really get the vibe of Cape Town.
Yes.
This place is alive and it's a buzz. And so we started talking about this is a place where city culture meets viticulture.
Yeah,
and and then he started talking, he said, but he tasted the wines. He said, this is for him, this is pure art. He said, he knows that a lot of people have done it before, but why don't we link art to art? And he, at the time, he already had the artist in mind. And so eventually we started talking about Cape Town, for instance, with the Mooly Point, with the lighthouse. I always wanted to do something with the lighthouse because from the top here at night, you can see Robben Island, Mooly Point, and the one in Mollerton, which is not always on.
Yeah.
So you've got three lighthouses that you see from here.
You see.
So I always wanted to do something with the lighthouse. And because Merlot is so influenced by maritime climate, immediately we said, okay, Mooly Point Lighthouse, that's the one that's on.
Then what's on the rest of them?
A lot of them, we actually it just came about. Like, they asked me about Chardonnay, and I said, well, it's very dependent on upwards and downwards movement of warm and cold air. And what goes up and down in Cape Town?
Yes.
The cable way.
Yeah, of course.
So immediately when we started doing up and down, immediately someone said, that's a cable way.
Exactly.
Sylvia Blanc, we went for the Cape Mist, which is a phenomenon. So it's not always a structure. It's yes. A Cape Mist. Chenin Blanc was logical. The company got us because that's where the first Chardonnay of Chenin was planted.
Really?
So back to its roots.
So nice.
And then on Shiraz, with that flintiness that you get,
yes.
Immediately Noongan.
Of course.
That yeah. Flintiness. Theo tasted the wine, and he likes wine as well, the artist.
Okay, that's
he likes
helps.
His wines. And he tasted it, and he said, but he gets a lot of spice on the wine. So immediately he brought in the Cape Malay quarters behind the cannon. So all of these things have got a tweak to them. The castle, the cab was the solid old building in Cape Town.
Yeah.
The fort. Cab is the so-called strong one.
Yeah.
So immediately we said, okay, castle, good up.
Fabulous.
Theo said, artist, that building is not only the oldest, it's also the ugliest. So you put a huge Cape Mountain lion yeah. in front of it. You just see the two sides of the
castle. I've seen it, yeah, yeah.
You just see the two
stunning.
Sides of the
okay.
of the castle, which is quite fun. And then
what do we have there?
The Pinotage one yeah. is very interesting. It's,
I think you've got it here. Is it Boulders
yeah.
Beach?
It's
you'll see it
it's
here.
Not Boulders. It's actually
it's not Boulders.
It's a promenade.
Oh, it's the promenade. Yes, of course.
Yeah, but he's
Seaport promenade. Why that?
Well, we've got the best part of Pinotage that we have is in the back.
Okay.
And I've got a story that say that the good Pinotage wants to see the ocean. So immediately, where do people in Cape Town go to see the ocean? Right, the promenade. But he brought in the penguins because if it was...
That's why it's so bold.
Yeah, but he said, have you seen how cool the penguins are? The one's got a camera, the one's got a little
yeah,
backpack.
Yeah, it's so sweet. They're all...
Sunglasses.
Yeah. You have to buy this one to see these paintings. There, you can see it a little bit there. Awesome.
But he brought in the penguins because if you brought in people,
yeah,
then there was, why is it more of the one gender than the other race issues?
Exactly, yeah.
Sexual preferences.
Yeah, so we put everything
why
in.
Is it, why is there not one in a wheelchair? So yeah. He said, penguins. So so it's been very exciting for us with the range. And but launching it was absolutely fun.
I can just imagine. How did you launch it?
Well, in Cape Town, the international guys, we actually took them on a tour.
Yes.
Of these, of all the wines. We actually went to
everyone. We went to every single spot. That is amazing. Yeah.
We didn't go up the cableway because of the time constraint. I don't think people realize how long it actually takes to get around Cape Town.
Yeah.
But we did it. So we did a very formal video with Theo on the wines. And then myself and my team decided that we're going to make an informal one as well. So we took our own tour with our own take on it. And that was pretty hilarious.
That's so funny. Funny. So Martin, what... I know you mentioned something wine of the Cape. So what does that mean? What is that new to us?
We were part of a bigger area. It's only ourselves in Philadelphia, which is Tigerberg. And Tigerberg is a non-entity. No one markets Tigerberg.
Yeah.
So it, there was no sense in it. And there's a lot of, if you look at the Tigerberg area, there's a lot of wheatlands in between.
Mm.
So we've approached the guys from Constantia in the beginning and said, and had an agreement that we should speak to the Wine and Spirits Board because there's a lot of similarity between everyone on the Atlantic seaboard. So they did research on it. The Wine and Spirits Board, they came to look at soil temperatures, similarities.
Yes.
And then said, okay, it makes a lot of sense to link us all the way down to Cape Point, including Hope Bay,
yes.
Constantia, Philadelphia, ourselves, and then all the way down to Good Hope, to Cape Point. And that was then declared wine of origin Cape Town. Now, the local market, it doesn't have that much impact because people know the Umbul by now.
Yes.
But on the international market,
massive.
Immediately if they pick up Cape Town. I saw it in Dubai that you got the Umbul and.
No idea. But nowhere. Cape Town,
they know. Now you say Cape Town, then they're there. So internationally, it makes it a lot easier.
Yeah. Okay, fantastic. Tell me, I know that you're going, I know that you love your Chardonnays and your Merlots.
Sylvio.
Sylvio. And your Sylvio. It's always difficult asking a winemaker, what's your favorite wine? Because it's like choosing your favorite child.
Yeah, that's my standard answer. I always ask him, what's your favorite child?
It's tricky. But what do you really enjoy making? What if I can put you on an island and I tell you, Martin, I'm going to leave you now here, but you're allowed to make one wine and drink one wine only, what would it be?
It would be Sauvignon Blanc and Merlot.
Okay, there we go.
One wine. Now, I think Sauvignon Blanc for us is it's because it's so unforgiving. If you make a mistake, it's going to hit you on the fingers, quality goes down. So the precision that we have there, especially picking time, that is extremely important to pick on the flavor profile and eat the right spot.
Mm.
Because it's been proven. We always knew it, but it's technology now that proved that you go through different phases with ripening.
Okay.
That you get flavor, your first batch of flavor, then there's a lull, and then you get your different other set of flavors.
Yes.
Now, if you pick it in the middle here, you know it. Then you're sitting with the dull wines. So that's a challenge. I spent a lot of time out in the vineyards in harvest time getting it. The guys in the cellar is meticulous. Coopers is crazy when it gets to Sauvignon Blanc.
Mm.
And it goes into a...
It's a very tricky.
It's unforgiving.
Yeah.
Everything's got to be right, and then it's rewarding. And then Merlot for me, with cool climate Merlot, we've got long hang time. So you don't have sugar levels that run away.
Yes.
That you're sitting with a dull, high alcohol, no fruit situation. And we've got a couple of tricks that we worked out over the year with Merlot. Because a lot of winemakers say, Merlot, boring.
Yeah, but you've got an interesting Merlot because your Merlot is here now with the cool climate as well, which I find is really a fantastic Merlot. I enjoy your Merlot, I must say. And funny enough, your Pinotage. Pinotage is that love-hate relationship. You either love it or you hate
but
it.
But we're sitting now that they've got a new road that they're going to open one of these days. Then we're going to be even closer to the airport. If you go past here in front of the cellar,
yes.
There's a road going left.
Yes.
And it goes straight to the airport.
Yes.
So we're finding now more and more that this looks like an airport. Because people come in here with a little...
Totally. And it's one
you can see this luggage. They've got luggage with them on their way to the airport. And this is a nice stop for them just before they get there.
Totally, yeah.
But even with our guests that we get from overseas, they very often go up to Kruger National Park or one of the fancy ones up there.
Yes.
And then they come down to the Cape. But now they've been exposed to wines up there that they buy.
Yes.
And we often find that from international guys that come here and they say, the moment you get to Pinotage, they go,
Yeah.
And I tell them, wait, taste
just
it.
Just try it.
And then they all go, but this is totally different.
Different.
We like this. And that's the difference you get with Pinotage. It, unfortunately, with the parents being Pinot Noir and Cinzo, in warm climate, it falls over to the Cinzo period, which is that rustic. I can't really live with them. Where in cool climate, it falls towards a Pinot Noir pairing, where it's more subtle, more of your berry fruit, and none of those acetone and banana flavors that you get from
it. Also enjoys a lot of cool climate as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But with these, it was quite easy. With a Pinotage, it was easy to identify where we're going to make this from. We've got my favorite block on the other side, open to the west coast. And you always find that we were picking from the top to the bottom. We always found that the first tank is much better than the other two, although the other two are great. And so when you get to what the collectors reserve, the challenge was to go out there and say, okay, where do we source the grapes?
Yes.
Pinotage, I knew there's something on top of that block that's different.
Yes.
So we eventually went and looked at different soil type. So that was very easy to, we know where to pick the Sauvignon from.
Yes.
Or the Pinotage from. It was more difficult with Merlot and Shiraz. Our favorite blocks there are quite big and flat. So you can't see spots.
Yes.
But you can. I looked up for help. There's a satellite with a program called Fruit Loop.
And they had a look at everything for you.
What they do is they do multispectral photography.
Yes.
And you register your blocks. They come over here every Friday. So by about Monday, I've got the results.
Mm.
What they do is they take... It's actually... It was developed for... maize farming, the likes of maize farming, where the farmers look at the colors of the maize to know when to irrigate. And then the wine industry got involved in showing interest. But what we do is it gives you canopy density. in different colors. So you can actually see where your more dense spots are,
okay,
and where your less dense spots are. And then go taste the grapes in those. Although it's in the same block, if you pick the whole block, you actually lose them. They will probably
they will
put up your quality.
Yeah.
But it's not that you really utilize them by taking them out.
Yeah.
And that's what we've done with Fruit Loop, which was quite tricky.
So it's pocket dependent, pretty much.
It's pockets. Yeah. And
that's amazing. With a trellis
system in a vineyard, it's not that easy to find the spots.
Yes.
Because if you walk down this row,
yes,
and the spot is just four rows down,
yeah,
you either got to climb over or go back out and go in again.
Yes.
So I've asked the farmers, please, any trees near a vineyard, leave it there. Because I can find the spots a lot easier to see there's a tree there. So, so that's how we identify the spots on the others. The one that we didn't do the same, because on most of the collector's vines, reserve range, it's pretty much snapshot of the top of the Pinotage vineyard, and that's where it comes from.
Yes.
And I just knew from the beginning with Sauvignon Blanc, you will never do justice by a snapshot of a Sauvignon Blanc in one of our best blocks.
Yes.
So we selected two blocks on the side here, one on the valley floor in the middle, one very high up in gravel, and then one older clones on the top of Morgenstern on the southern contours.
Yes.
So it was very good pockets over the valley, and then blended together.
Yes.
So that was a bit, quite a bit of a challenge because there's so many styles that you can go to with Sauvignon Blanc. But I think with this whole range, we felt that we're going to go less new old and slightly more classical.
Mm.
And if you taste the wines at all, I mean the Chenin.
Can I have a taste?
Yeah.
We've been talking about it now. I haven't tasted it.
That's the Pinot.
The coffee mocha. It's typical your Pinot. That's why I love your Pinot. Martin, I know you're a big family fan.
Yep.
And your son's playing cricket. Right?
Yeah, the oldest one is. They both played first team cricket and rugby.
Okay.
The oldest one is now at grade 11. He's got another year to go.
Yeah.
He's this fun cricketer. Also plays first team, but.
But enjoys it.
He enjoys it, but his focus is actually on rugby.
Okay.
He's been over in Italy. The school gave him a bit of grace. So he started school later this year. So he played in Italy for 2 years, after 2 months. And the oldest one's just back. He was playing cricket down in Christchurch in New Zealand.
Jeez. So big sport guys. But you're also a sportsman on your day.
Yeah.
Loved your rugby.
played rugby for way too long.
Martin's actually going to my home valley, Robertson, this weekend.
Yeah, tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night they're having a big reunion of the 1988 Cup they won. So I'm actually, it's going to be my most fun, I'm sure, especially in the Robertson Valley.
I hope we don't make the papers for all the wrong reasons.
That's funny. But listen, I think our time is running out. There's so much more we can chat about. We're doing an event in October together, and we will see. We'll be advertising that soon as well. And thank you very much. It's always lovely being here, and we really look forward to tasting your reserve ranges as well. Yes, and if you see it on the shelves, try it and look at the beautiful pictures. They all got different beautiful artists on them as well. So from my side, thank you very much for joining in, and we'll see you next time. Cheers.
For more, visit www.nicheradio.co.za.